I'm Connie Foster, Dean of Libraries. And this recognition is always a highlight of the semester, and it is made possible through the support of Friends of WKU Libraries and the University College Interdisciplinary Studies Department, which teaches the library skills component of the university experience. And today we recognize two students who will come forward eventually for having achieved significant skills in their research and essay experiences. And I know the parents and faculty are particularly proud of them because by receiving this award, they have learned a great deal early in their experiences at WKU that should stand you well in your future endeavors, and particularly with regards to library resources. Essential to any event like this is a planning committee, and I would like for the members to just raise your hand if you are in the area. Okay. Tamara Race is the chair, Amanda Drost, Dina Groves, Sue Lynn McDaniel, and her lovely flowers. Thank you. Kath Pinaveria, I don't believe it's here. Carol Watwood and Sarah McCaslin is our ex officio member, and that she does all of the really hard work and selects the group of papers from which the committee judges. Another person who's not here is Jennifer Wilson. She's our marketing coordinator, and she assists with the press releases and the photography and other things. And then Shad Mielke is taking pictures, and it's fine if parents, friends want to take pictures too. We don't feel badly about more pictures, more lights going on. I'm pleased to introduce our speaker, Dr. Ken Kuhn, who is the Department Head of Interdisciplinary Studies. Ken first joined the university in 1984 in the Department of Geography and Geology. Since that time, he has actively researched and taught about Kentucky's oil and coal resources, its karst and geologic structures. He is an active advocate to this day for environmental protection and long-term sustainability. He has amassed a lot of honors, as you can imagine, over the years at WKU, being as prolific as he has been. And very few faculty achieve the prominence of receiving two different college awards. Ken has received the Ogden College of Science and Engineering Award for research teaching, and then also for public service across a span of about 8 years. And in 1997, he received the Distinguished Service Award from the Kentucky Society of Professional Geologists. In 2002, he was recognized by WKU as a University Distinguished Professor. And this truly is the highest honor any faculty member at WKU can receive. And it's given in recognition of his long-term and high-caliber achievements in geology, research, education, and public service. And at the end of Ken's speech, and then at the end of Sarah's presentation of the plaques, I have a WKU Libraries towel for the award winners, a t-shirt, and a book light. So we hope you enjoy all of your goodies throughout the ceremony. Thank you. Ken?
Thank you for that nice introduction. I wrote it myself. I did rack up a few awards, but I've had 30 years to do it in, so I'm not a slow mover on that, I guess. And it's always a little cringeworthy when I do the math, and 1984 seemed like such a long, long time ago. And yeah, it was, actually. But I'm glad you're all here. I didn't realize this was going to be such a formal affair. Actually, I gave my speech a few minutes ago to an empty room, and then I realized I was in the wrong place, so this is much better. I was asked to tell you a little bit about some very early research experiences that I had and what started me on my career path and got me interested in ultimately geology. And so I thought back as much as I could remember and came up with a couple little stories that I'll share with you. But like a lot of folks, when I began college, I didn't really have a particular direction. I was what today we would call an exploratory student, just kind of snooping around. And of course, back then we had a draft into the Army, and so snooping around in college seemed like a pretty good thing anyway. Wanted to stay away from the Army. So I took a ridiculously long time to finish my degree. I'm not going to tell you how long because I don't want to give you any any ideas, but I had a chance to do a lot of exploration in school and changed my major a couple times and eventually got involved with geology. And it just fascinated me that two people could stand there and look at a whole wall of rocks, and one person those rocks are speaking to and telling a story, and for me, I'm just going, oh, it's a wall of rocks, you know? What am I missing here? And so it got me interested in asking questions. And that's one mark of a good researcher and good scientist, is you have to ask a question. There's lots of information out there, but you have to know how to approach it, how to go after that answer. Very early on, when we started learning about minerals and we started learning about rocks, we found out that the ultimate way to identify something is not so much by shape and form and all those things, but you could zap it with an X-ray. So we were going to learn how to X-ray our specimens, and we were to bring in a specimen if we had one. If not, the teacher would kindly supply you with one. So we had a fellow that in class, he brought in his own mineral. I was supplied with a mineral. I didn't have one. And we started zapping these things with X-ray beams. Not the kind of medical X-ray that we're all familiar with, but this is a high-powered beam. And the thing about minerals is their atoms all line up in a certain way. And when you zap it just right, you get a nice print out, a lot of peaks and squiggles. And that's the fingerprint for that mineral. All you had to do was look in the big, thick book of mineral fingerprints, and you could figure out what this thing was. There was only 3,000 options. I thought that was pretty good, you know. So the fellow who brought his in, he got his print out, and he's looking through the book, and he couldn't find it, but that didn't surprise us because he wasn't exactly at the top of the class. So I lined up, and I zapped my mineral, and I got my print out, and I started looking through the book, and I couldn't find it either. And well, I wasn't at the top of the class either, so surely somebody was going to be able to do this. Eventually, I had to give up and go ask the teacher. I said, look, you gave me a mineral. It's clearly labeled by experts. I know what it is. How come the X-ray is not matching my printout? And he said, well, did you turn all the dials the right way? Did you set this up? Are you making mistakes? Where are all the different ways that errors can creep into this process? I said, I did it all right. I'm sure I did. Well, as it turned out, after a lot of to-do, I was able to determine that that mineral was labeled wrong. I found it in the book, and it wasn't what the experts said it was. All was not right with the world. Then my classmate, who brought his own mineral in, and I have to give a little backstory on this. He lived in the eastern part of the state being Pennsylvania. And eastern Pennsylvania is very much like eastern Kentucky. A lot of coal mining. In fact, the first coal mining in the United States took place there. This is a hard coal, not the soft coal, bituminous coal that we have here in Kentucky. And he grew up in a mining area where they've been mining for a couple hundred years, and golly, there's just mines everywhere, and most impressively, big piles of mine waste. Some of the slate rock that came out of the mine, little pieces of coal and all that was left over from the old days, you know. And for fun, what they would do, get on their four-wheelers and they go tooling up to the tops of these man-made mountains and have a powwow. Well, as it turned out, some of those powwows, particularly if they involve campfires or various acts of nature like lightning strikes, could cause these piles to catch fire. And there was just enough coal in that waste rock and just enough oxygen getting through there that they would just smolder and smolder and smolder, and they were almost impossible to extinguish, you know. And in fact, there's a small town in Pennsylvania that's very famous for the fact they just all voted to get up and move because they couldn't put out the mine fire that had been smoldering underneath their town for many, many years. So it is really a big problem, and it's something that people are researching today. Well, a friend was tooling around, and he saw one of these smoking fumarole things there, and said, okay, well, I'm going to investigate by sticking my face down in this hot fuming mess. And he did, and there he saw these crystals kept were kind of growing on the side, so he reached in and picked some up, and that's what he brought to class, so we could figure out what it was. He said, this is pretty cool, must be a mineral. Well, apparently it wasn't a mineral, because it was never found in the book. So we took it to the U.S. Geological Survey. They're the ultimate authorities. They zapped it, And they wrote back and said, not in the book. So congratulations, you've got a mineral, but it's a new mineral. Hadn't been found before.
Wow.
So my friend, his name Wayne Downey, was a very humble person, and he named the mineral Downeyite. And he is forever famous as the discoverer of Downeyite. So those two things, a chance discovery and the fact that I could prove somebody wrong, told me, or at least gave me the hint at that point in time, that maybe I could make a real contribution to something. So that started me off, and after I did graduate, eventually I took a job with a Shell Oil Company and worked in Houston, Texas for a while. And in that job, I was looking around for oil, like a lot of geologists do. Again, it was research, bring together all the information we could, put your finger on a spot on the map and drill a hole, and there's gonna be oil there, right? Oh, it should be so easy. No, chances are there wasn't oil there. So doing good research doesn't necessarily guarantee a positive result, but it does guarantee that you've learned something about the process, you learned something, in my case, about how the Earth works, some of its secrets are revealed. Well, I've been involved in a lot of interesting projects since I've been here at WKU. Most of those have involved research. And I don't want you to have the impression that research is something limited to science just because I'm a scientist. And we tend to think that way. I don't even own a white lab coat, okay? I own some dungarees and a rock hammer is basically how I function. But we do associate research and science. But the fact is that you can do research in any field. It doesn't matter whether you're in marketing or advertising or whatever. There is research to be done. There's many different kinds of research techniques. Some involve qualitative things, numbers and percentages. Some involve questionnaires and, more qualitative type things. So research is open to everybody and in every discipline. Now, some of the advantages that I think I had in getting started was my whole university, it was a college, actually, had 1,200 people in it. So if we had 10 people in a class, that was a huge crowd. And we were able to work very closely with our teachers, and that kept us from getting too far off the track. But we really appreciated that interaction. And even though you're here now at a very large university, 21,000 or so people, we still try to maintain that contact with students, keep our class sizes small. And in fact, in the past couple of years, the university has started something called FUSE, which is an undergraduate research grant. In fact, it's a faculty undergraduate. Well, FUSE stands for something, but just remember F-U-S-E. And what you do is you pair up with a professor and you attack some problem, and you can actually get some funding to do this. So it's just a lot of opportunities to pursue research one-on-one or in small groups, and that's what I would encourage you to do. So what do we know about you so far? That you've been exposed to some research, you've risen to the challenge, and you've excelled in that project. So I want to congratulate our winners today and hope it starts you off on an interesting path that results in an undergraduate degree, and when you go on into your professional career, that you have just as much fun as I'm having. All right, thanks. And I'd like to turn it over to Sarah McCaslin. Sarah is our University Experience Coordinator, and she's going to present the awards.
Thank you. I have to say this because I say it every year, and if I don't say it, I'm going to feel like I left something very important out. This, by far, is my favorite time of the semester. So, having said that, not because it's almost the end of the semester, but because we get to recognize the students that have put forth much effort this semester and recognize their efforts within their classes and let them not only be recognized by us but by their family and their instructor. So thank you all for being here today. My purpose right now is to actually award the students. But before I do that, we have an unexpected, very special guest with us today. One of our recent previous winners of the University Experience Undergraduate Research Award, Stephen Fioretti, is here. Please, Stephen, stand up. Stephen won the award this past December. So just to let you know, we do award the Undergraduate Research Awards both in the fall and the spring. And this semester we have two winners. Our first winner, I will go ahead and just dive right in here, is a student from the South Campus. He is registered in one of the UCC 175 classes. And to win this award, the students engage in a career exploration project. They do research while exploring a potential career. And I love this project because, again, it not only lets students dive into the research process, but it also lets them explore maybe what they might want to pursue once they finish their education pursuit. So, and this year I'm going to try to let the students sort of do their talking. Don't worry, you don't have to make a speech. I'm going to take some of the information you've given to us and just sort of let you guys know how they feel about winning the award this semester. So Tyler has told us that winning the award is a great boost to keep him going. So I think that's excellent. And the major theme in that sentence right there is to keep going. Your ultimate goal is to graduate, and that's what we want to see you do. And if we can contribute to that ultimate goal by awarding you today, then I'm happy with that. I am, very much so. So Tyler did do the career exploration project. His project was based on information relating to computer information technology. This is something Tyler has done research on. He wrote a paper about it, and within his paper gave us lots and lots of information about this particular career, and the committee decided that this was the best career exploration project this semester from the UCC 175 students. So I would like to go ahead and bring Tyler up and give you your award. Come on up, Tyler. Tyler's going to receive not only the plaque.
Thank you.
Nice handshake there. Tyler's going to receive not only the plaque, but a check for $100 from University Libraries and University Experience. So congratulations, Tyler.
Thank you again.
Our second award winner today, his name is Jordan Dobbs. We're excited to have him with us today. Jordan did a little bit different project. He's registered in one of the UC 175 classes here on the main campus, and his project related to a TED Talk. Who in this room has heard of a TED Talk? They are fascinating. If you want a little bit of homework, you can go home tonight, get on your iPad, get on your computer, your iPhone, and go to TED.com. TED.com gives you a plethora of TED Talks to listen to. They're short videos of people that have big ideas, and they share those big ideas with us in segments, videos that are from 3 to 10, maybe 10 or 12 minutes long. But the students this semester in UC 175 chose a TED Talk. They listened to that TED Talk and then produced what we're calling, an annotated resource list based on that TED Talk. And I'm telling you, these TED Talks can be on anything and everything, okay? So the students get to sort of take ownership of this project and choose a topic that interests them, whether it's in the science field or artificial intelligence, to disease research, to the ocean floor. I mean, the possibilities here are endless, and that's why I like it. Jordan chose to do his project on a TED Talk titled Your Brain on Video Game. How awesome is that? What Jordan did was he watched the TED Talk, and then he created his own annotated resource list based on this TED Talk. And again, the committee chose this to be the best annotated resource list for the semester in the UC 175 class. And I will sort of give you Jordan's own words as he found out that he had been selected as the winner for this particular award. He says, "This award has raised my confidence scholastically and reiterated my beliefs about a good effort in school." Very excited about that. So we hope that you will continue with that scholastic confidence and join Tyler in graduating from WKU. Come on up here. Congratulations, Jordan. You also get a plaque.
Thank you.
And a nice check. Okay. And I know Connie has already recognized and thanked the committee. I want to do that as well. I am the one that, with the help of Martha, stand up for us. This is Martha Topmiller. She is one of my graduate assistants that has been with me for over a year now. And she gets a lot of the credit for the past few semesters because she has worked with me to teach some of the library skills workshops and to even grade some of the projects. And I want to thank her for that. Martha is graduating in just a few days, so congratulations, Martha. But again, I want to say thank you to the committee, especially a committee that is so dedicated and is so involved with this particular process. I love to work with these folks, and it is a tremendous pleasure, especially when someone like Amanda will bring us cake during our meeting, so thank you for that. So again, I say with sincerity, this is my favorite time of the semester to award these students, recognize them, have their families come and be with us, and just encourage them to continue their education journey. Okay. Thank you very much.
I know one of the faculty members, Paula Trafton, we're going to have to, like, give Paula a statute of limitations.
Oh, my goodness. Yes.
Always would. So we do appreciate Paula. And then is the other?
Tara. Tara's right here, too. Tara is Tyler's instructor, and Paula is Jordan's instructor.
Right. So we do want to recognize you.